Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. You watch much of the X Games? Pretty exciting sports. It was on over the last few nights. And the reason I brought that up is because a skateboarder made history with something he did on his skateboard at the X Games. This guy named Mitchie Brusco became the first person in history to nail a 1260 in skateboarding. So think about that. I'm not that good in math, but if you go all the way around once, that's a 360, right? So then you do the math. He did a 1260 on a skateboard, and he was the first person to do that, and he did it in the X Games.
Well, that's 3.5 times around then.
There you go. That's catching air. If you can stay on a skateboard and turn your body 3.5 times around and land, not on your head.
That would be my first goal and hardest thing to achieve.
First person in history to nail a 1260 in skateboarding.
I can honestly say I've never been on a skateboard in my life. The closest I've come was years and years ago. 25 years ago, I had a Tony Hawk video game, or somebody had one, and I was playing it. And so I learned, like one of the things you do, you go up and then you grab the back of the skateboard, and that's like a fakie or something like that. They all have different names. They all have like little names, all the different stunts that you can do. You know, like you go up the half pipe or whatever, you go up in the air and you get big air, as you say, but you if you turn and grab the bottom of the back of the board, it's like a fakie, is that right?
I don't know the lingo.
Something like that, yeah.
But it's funny you brought up Tony Hawk, because he was obviously watching the X Games over the weekend.
He just turned 60, didn't he?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And he congratulated the 22-year-old skateboarder Mitchie Brusco for nailing a 1260 on a skateboard. So going around and around and around.
And halfway around.
Halfway around. That's something else. And I wanted to bring this up as well. You might have saw this story from over the last few days. I couldn't believe it. And this happened in Florida. Go figure. Not a Florida man story. Well, a Florida McDonald's employee fired for refusing to serve paramedics or anyone with a badge.
Because?
That's how this particular employee at this particular McDonald's felt. An employee at a McDonald's restaurant in Florida has been fired after reportedly refusing to serve a pair of paramedics over that worker's reluctance to serve anyone with a badge. Quote, we are aware of the unfortunate incident that took place at one of our restaurants last night, wrote the McDonald's franchisee operating that particular restaurant in Florida. And he said, quote, we, like you, were upset and disappointed and took immediate action. The employee has been terminated. That's something. How does somebody working at McDonald's...
that just takes it upon themselves to decide what that establishment is going to do and who they're going to serve. That's insane.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. Madeira Beach, Florida. I don't know. But that's where that happened. And someone who happened to work at that McDonald's saw a couple of paramedics come walking in, and they had badges on. And the person said, I don't serve anyone with a badge. Working at
McDonald's. America in 2019.
Who is that person going to call if anything ever happens to him? Who is that? Who's that?
Well, a paramedic, and it could likely be those two, because fortunately, paramedics and first responders generally don't have little grudges like that, and they try, I think, for the most part, to save everyone, including little pipsqueaks working at McDonald's who think they're going to decide who gets served.
Yeah, some first responder, some paramedic, some ambulance driver, they ever see him, you know, that would be like, let's say, I don't know, a black doctor working in an emergency room, and then some neo-Nazi, you know, racist white supremacist guy comes in with swastika tattoos on his arms, and then he's got to save his life.
Right.
I thought that was something. And, you know, and McDonald's did a good job here by getting out in front of it and firing the guy and the employee and then releasing their statement. And usually when we've seen rogue employees at certain places, whether they have big names that we all know about nationally or not, they usually do a good job to, once one of these rogue employees does something like that, to get out in front of it. Here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. We all prejudge people. That doesn't make us all prejudiced.
I don't, but go ahead.
Most of us prejudge people. Look, if you're walking down the street and you see someone that, I don't know, just looks a little shady, maybe you won't want to walk right past them on the street. You might cross the street.
Let's say you go from a parking garage approximately, well, I don't know, 2.5 blocks to the door of the building where you work. Let's just say that. And let's say there's a gentleman who is conducting tent revival for basically himself. Oh, I'm sorry. There's also the man in his underwear who is changing his socks. That's the first thing I saw as I stepped onto the street this morning in Orleans Parish.
Yeah, we've got some guys living outside around the radio station here. Well, I saw the guy with his socks this morning, too, and I thought, hey, at least he's changing his socks. At least he's thinking
was he
to
in
do
his
that.
Underwear? Did I see that correctly? I don't like to stare.
I didn't stare that long.
I didn't want to make him feel uncomfortable. As he was standing there virtually naked in the street.
And it's something jumping over a few of these people that live outside the radio station here in the morning. Well, the reason I bring this up, and if you want to see the guy that I'm going to describe momentarily, we've got the story and his incredible picture on our website at bayou957.com. Accused Louisiana double murderer's attorney looks for jurors who won't judge man based on his face tattoos. And this guy's not only his face and his forehead and his head, but his neck completely covered in tattoos. He's the kind of guy when you look at him, many people would have nightmares after seeing him. And now his attorney is trying to find jurors who won't judge him based on those face tattoos. His name is William Bottoms Jr., and he's 29 years old. And how would you like to be William Bottoms Sr.? I mean, not only is your son your namesake, the guy you gave your name to on trial for murdering two people, but his face is completely covered in tattoos. You'd scare the heck out of most people just by looking at him.
I'm looking at his picture right now. I don't know how he doesn't look in the mirror each morning to shave and not scare the hell out of himself.
The defense lawyer for a man accused in a double homicide spent yesterday seeking jurors who wouldn't hold his client in a negative light just because the defendant has a number of tattoos on his face. His face is covered with tattoos.
I'm not sure which. I've found this somewhere else. I'm not looking at this on Bayou957.com. But did you see the progression?
Yes, I saw one of his earlier mugshots. He only has a couple of small tattoos on his face.
They have a couple of his mugshots, different stages of tattoos, and I'm telling you, the one where he has the fewest is the scariest. He's got two horns over his eyes. He's got an X Manson style, or a cross, just between his eyes. He's got, I don't even know if I could say that, because I don't want to invoke what it might mean, on his face. And then the most recent, Cyrus Virus over his eyebrows on the most recent one.
Yeah, but what about all of the teeth that go where the mustache would usually be in the tickler?
Oh, is that okay?
And it goes around his mouth, over the tickler, over the mustache, on the sides of the mouth. Those look like giant teeth that are tattooed in there.
Or are they supposed to be like stitches, like Frankenstein?
And is that a dog on his Adam's apple?
Don't.
Go check out his mugshot on our website, Brewster.
Let me drop everything here.
It looks like there's some sort of dog on his Adam's apple. Anyways, 29-year-old William Bottoms Jr.
Oh, my God. The picture you have is not even... I thought I had the most recent one.
Oh, no.
All right. So the lines he did have, you're correct. They are now filled in as teeth. Before, they were... I guess that was a work in progress.
Mm. This guy is from...
Later on the show, we're going to do card tricks on the air.
He's 29 years old. William Bottoms Jr. of Greenwell Springs, charged with second-degree murder in the June 2017 shooting deaths of two men from Baker, Louisiana. East Baton Rouge Parish Assistant District Attorney Dana Cummings didn't mention Bottoms' facial tattoos as she questioned the first panel of 14 potential jurors. But when it was time for Bottoms' attorney to question the panel, he wasted no time bringing up the topic. Quote, "That's the first thing you see with him," his lawyer Jarvis Antwine told the group of prospective jurors. "He's lurking for jurors who won't prejudge his client." Let's face the facts. Isn't that impossible?
Yes.
When you look at this man's face, to find any human being, let alone a juror, who's not going to look at that guy, and the first thing he's going to think of is, "Wow, look at those face tattoos." That's what I mean.
Well,
when I started talking about this, don't we all prejudge? I mean, we work with people. The way people dress, the way
human nature.
The way they smell. We prejudge people on a daily basis. That doesn't make us prejudiced, but when we look at someone, the first thing anyone ever does when they see someone, whether it's on a large scale or a small scale, you make some sort of judgment of that person. Wow, that person is dressed nice. Wow, that woman is very attractive. Wow, that guy looks like an insane lunatic because of all of his facial tattoos.
Well, that's the conundrum here. It's up to the individual person. I mean, the answer to the question is, I think, is no. You cannot unsee what his face looks like. It's his face. He's chosen to mark his face. Some would say mar his face. Some would say that's just it. I'm struggling to describe it, and what I'm struggling is what you have in the case of a jury. To juror number one, this might mean psycho killer. To number two, it might mean heavy metal fan. To number three, it might mean Christian metal fan. To number four, maybe Cyrus Virus means something over his eyebrows. So I think the thing on his chin, I don't know, I can't, that's not his Adam's apple, that's his chin. It looks like a dead life in like a video game. Because it's like a thing with ears and then X's for eyes, so it looks like a dead life.
Well, his lawyer, Jarvis Antwine, explained that he's looking for jurors who won't prejudge his client. The overwhelming majority of the panel, the people who are prospective jurors, said they had no problem with Bottoms' facial tattoos. One male potential juror said, quote, it's a personal choice. Another woman perspective juror said that she personally doesn't care for tattoos, but would not judge Bottoms on that basis.
I'll tell you what this reminds me of in a way, and it was a Coca-Cola Super Bowl commercial from a few years ago that did a twist on Grand Theft Auto. And so here comes the car, pulls up, it looks just like the game. The guy gets out and puts out a fire with a fire extinguisher. He trips a purse snatcher and hands the old lady her purse snatch. He's going around doing good things. He's doing the absolute opposite of what you would see in Grand Theft Auto and handing everybody a Coke, and then they have a big song and dance number. So it's the immediate perception. You look at that commercial, boom, before it starts, and it's like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome. It's going to be Coke's take on Grand Theft Auto, but it flipped and it's on its head. So if I'm a prospective juror a prospective juror would not see his, you wouldn't see him until you were seated on the jury.
And then you think to yourself, Jesus, Son of God, look at this guy.
But then again, number one thinks this, number two thinks this, and that thinking to yourself before the proceedings even start, isn't that the definition of bias? Or a prejudgment?
What are you supposed to think when you look at this guy with tattoos all over his face, head, and neck? As a matter of fact, you know what? I've been staring at this picture for 10 minutes, Brewster, and I just noticed something new about the picture. He has no eyebrows.
Right.
I couldn't tell that he shaved his eyebrows because he has so many tattoos on his face. But my God, all of those tattoos on his face, plus he shaves his eyebrows?
Right.
Whoa!
It's like Gone with the Wind. You watch Gone with the Wind and you see something that you didn't know was there the dozenth time you watched it previous.
But it's natural and normal to judge people when you first see someone. I gave you the reasons, the dress, smell, look. We all do it. That does not make us prejudiced.
All right, so not having seen this story before, you look at him and what does this... let's play word association. What when one word comes to your mind?
Murder.
And I know that's not what a jury is about, but...
Double murderer. Sorry, that's two words. And that's because the headline of the story says accused double murderer's attorney looks for jurors who won't judge men based on face tattoos.
See, my immediate word association reaction was a little bit different. Mine was guilty.
Hmm.
So, see, I wouldn't be able to... You know, the process is called voir dire, that you go through, and each side has challenges they can make on jurors and whether or not they can be seated for this trial. That process may take months.
If you want to see this incredible mugshot and the story, it's on our website at bayou957.com. Coming up next, yesterday, right on the Kenner-Metairie line, a routine traffic stop. It wasn't routine. Cops were shot at, and they're still looking for this guy. We'll give you the details coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. Bayou. Bayou.
See what you've started?
Orleans only classic rock.
Despite that.
Tonight is the National Night Out Against Crime. And again, this started with all good intentions. People that don't want crime, they get together, and it's the National Night Out Against Crime. But every year when they have this, some people's homes get robbed because the criminals know that tonight is National Night Out Against Crime, and they know a lot of people will be out of their house to try to do something about the crime problem, and it's a perfect time for some of the burglars to get in people's empty homes.
I'm thinking alarm system. That's just me, but not everybody can afford such things.
Yeah. So hopefully tonight will be a successful National Night Out Against Crime. All right, coming up on the show, Local police are still looking for this guy that shot at Kenner Police yesterday. They've identified him. They just haven't been able to find him. This happened yesterday during the afternoon commute home. We'll give you more details coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans and Lamarck Ford. So yesterday afternoon, police pulled over a driver, and the driver opened fired at Kenner police officers during the traffic stop yesterday afternoon. And they have named the guy. They just haven't found him. His name is Hassan Norris, and he's 20 years old. And you always hear cops say that there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. And this is the reason why. It's interesting. Yesterday afternoon, I was checking Facebook for stories. And some of my Facebook friends who live in that area, it was right over on the Kenner-Metairie line where this happened. And I just happened to be on Facebook yesterday afternoon, and I noticed a few of my Facebook friends that live over there saying, my neighborhood has been shut down. There's helicopters flying above us. Does anybody know what happened?
Yeah, they were looking around Riverside Drive over there. They shut down. They put St. Philip Neri School on lockdown for a time. Apparently, this all started like at 11 a.m., just a routine stop, and as you mentioned, you know, police officers, they don't even use that word. There is no routine anything.
Yeah, and yesterday, later in the afternoon, they were going home to home, property to property, and they couldn't find this guy. It was a traffic stop. He shoots at Kenner police officers, and then he escapes. It's interesting how they know who he is. They just can't find him right now. And you would think it doesn't get any more dangerous than this guy. If someone is willing to shoot at a police officer.
Yeah, that's you pretty much you stated your case right there. If you're gonna do that, pretty much all bets are off. I've only had that happen once in my life, and it's when I lived in Covington for a short time, about 3 years, and it was in the evening. I want to say 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and you start hearing commotion. I look through the peephole, and it's lit up like daytime. And there's a knock at the door about that same time. You open the door, and it's like Klieg lights everywhere, because in that particular subdivision where I lived at the time, a suspect had taken off on foot, and I opened the door, and it's St. Tammany Sheriff's deputies, and sorry to disturb you, we're going door to door, there's someone we're looking for, and they actually said, can you please step away from the door? And they wanted to check to make sure that out of their vision, I wasn't being held at gunpoint, saying, no, we haven't seen anything. There's nothing going on. Because you don't know.
And
that is the scary thing right there. That's what makes it not routine. Because police officers are willing to walk into what seems to be a normal situation and could be, could have a tragic outcome for all involved.
I just couldn't imagine being at that place in life where I would shoot at a police officer when he when I got pulled over in a car.
At the age of 20.
Yeah. Could you imagine being at that point in your life? This reminded me of the story from about a month ago here in New Orleans, uptown. And it happened early in the morning, right around this time, when those two guys robbed CVS drugstore. And they went in and they robbed the CVS drugstore of a bunch of pills, bunch of drugs, a bunch of dope. And when they were confronted by New Orleans police and there was a shootout, and those guys shot at New Orleans police. One cop, I believe, was shot in the shoulder, and he's all right. Both of the and those two, I believe, were from Texas. Both of those guys were shot as well. And they caught one of them right away. And then the other one hid in someone's backyard in that area uptown. That was the CVS on Britannia Street by the theater there, the movie theater. And and be careful, because there's some guy hiding in somebody's backyard right now. He just robbed drugs from a CVS drugstore, and he just fired at a New Orleans cop who's in uniform. So be careful if you see this guy, because if he's willing to shoot at a cop, there's no doubt he's willing to shoot at you. And it took him a little bit of time, but a homeowner saw the guy run through his backyard and hide somewhere in his backyard, and then the homeowner called the cops, and the New Orleans cops came and got him.
On this situation yesterday, one of the published reports described it as he disappeared into the labyrinth of apartment complexes in Kenner, and I thought that's pretty good writing, because that's basically what he did. And one would hope that under daylight today, they'll find him.
Well, he's had how much time to...
Well, some jurisdiction will find him, I should say. Hopefully someone will find him, and he'll give himself up peaceably, as we say in the Old West.
And investigators always ask anyone with any information, it could be the slightest small piece of information, to contact the Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office Homicide Section or Crime Stoppers. Call one of those two organizations. All right, coming up on the show, a strip club empire has pledged to send strippers to Area 51. Have you seen that going around on the internet? A bunch of people say they're going to show up out there in Nevada. But authorities are warning them not to. I think some strippers are going to end up going out there. We're going to explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So some businesses have entertaining Twitter accounts. We bring up the restaurant chain Wendy's. Whoever does their Twitter, they're very funny, they're creative, they're smart. And they have some good tweets. They take shots at their competition. It's fun. The other day,
they force their competition to step up their social media game.
The other day, during a baseball game between the Miami Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays, they got in a little Twitter issue. Tampa Bay was beating them, and the organization started going back and forth on Twitter. First, the Miami Marlins said they tweeted a play, a good play by their team, and then it said, "He's the man your third base coach warned you about." and the Marlins outfielder threw the Rays runner out at home plate. That was the play. And so they said, "He's the man your third base coach warned you about." Tampa Bay then, because they were sweeping the series, said in a tweet, "Here's the broom we just used on you, so you can clean them up." And then cornered with that tweet, the Miami Marlins then tweeted, all caps, in all capital letters, "You're literally the animal that killed Steve Irwin. Log off."
Wow.
Remember Steve Irwin?
Sure. Steve Irwin lost his life. He got stabbed by a stingray.
Stingray.
Was it a stingray?
This is the Miami Marlins just said. You're the Tampa Bay Rays baseball
team. I get
team.
It, right, right.
You're literally the animal that kills
we heard it, yeah. We got it. That's stepping it up a little bit too much. That's taking the gloves off. Well, up until that point, this reminded me of, like, softcore porn, Friday nights on Cinemax. Didn't it remind you of that?
So after some, they had to apologize. For
yes,
that after.
So yes. Probably some people either got suspended or are on permanent vacation.
Twitter wars. All right, coming up next, we'll look at today in history. We call the segment "Why Today Doesn't Suck," and we hope you'll stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T, or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. It's that time in our show where we look at today in history, and we call the segment
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
August 6th. Today, my mother was born.
Well, happy heavenly birthday to your...
She's been gone for a while. She died young.
To your mom.
I would hope she's in heaven.
Yes.
She was imperfect, but August 6th. It was today in 1945.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
America drops the atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan, to finally end World War II. They wouldn't stop fighting, and we dropped the big one on Hiroshima. August 6th. It was today in 19...
Sound it out.
1970.
Today Doesn't Suck.
I never saw this before.
You never heard of 1970?
But they had an anti-war rock festival at Shea Stadium. Did you ever hear about that?
Very vaguely.
Anti-Vietnam war rock festival. It was Janis Joplin, Steppenwolf, Paul Simon, and Johnny Winter.
Well, that's an odd... Paul Simon and Johnny Winter. I don't see those two on the same bill. Here's a big concert to celebrate the end of an era, you could say. It was on this date, August 6, 1996.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The Ramones performed their final concert at the Palace in Los Angeles. It was their, if you're counting, it was their 2,263rd concert. It featured appearances by former bassist Dee Dee Ramone, Motorhead singer Lemmy Kilmister, Pearl Jam's Eddie Vedder, and from Soundgarden, the late Chris Cornell, and bassist Ben Shepherd. It was on this date also, this date that year, 1996.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
During a concert at an Indiana club, Motley Crue singer Vince Neil left the stage after just three songs. I don't think the set list was that short that night. The concert began 4 hours late, and Neil said he wasn't feeling well, and the audience of, quote, rednecks, end quote. I can support that. Indiana is full of rednecks. I have most of them in my lineage. He said those rednecks did not appreciate his talent. Refunds weren't offered. That is, refunds weren't offered. And police were called to the scene, barely able to stave off a riot of 500 ticket holders. Oh, big show, big house, 500 people.
4 hours late, who did Vince Neil think he was? Axl Rose?
Exactly. It was on this date, August 6, 1977.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
I meant to look this up, and we're going to have to do a little more research. Did you know that the police were at one time a four-piece unit? They performed their last show on this date that year as a four-piece band at the Mont du Marsan Punk Festival in France. I declare this land for France. And one more. On this date, 30 years ago, April 6th, 1989.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
U2 bassist, bad day for bassists, Adam Clayton arrested in Dublin On charges of marijuana possession, his conviction was waived after he made a $40,000 donation to the Dublin Women's Aid Center. That was nice of him to do that. $40K. And don't forget Music Notes at Noon with Ginty for more music minutia and things.
And August 6th, today in 1984,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
The number one song in America was from a movie, a very funny movie, Ghostbusters.
Mm.
It was the song Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr., but he was then sued by Huey Lewis because Huey Lewis actually, that Ghostbusters song ripped off the Huey Lewis song, I Want a New Drug.
Some would say that.
It's basically the same.
Some would say that. Song. And that's what they would have you to believe, and that is a segment that we would have you to believe is called...
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
One other thing happened today, too, 10 years ago. The movie director, John Hughes died 10 years ago today. And John Hughes made movies, the movies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
10 years?
Yeah.
Seriously, since John Hughes died?
Yeah, he was...
That's unbelievable.
He was the king of the high school movie.
Sure.
Even though he had graduated and was older, they said there was a part of him that never left high school.
Yes.
And some of his movies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, The Breakfast Club.
Saturday, March 24th, 1984. Shermer High School, Shermer, Illinois.
John Hughes had a fixation for, he's from the Chicago area, but he had a fixation for the fictional city of Shermer, Illinois.
Do you know why he called it Shermer, Illinois?
I did know this at one point, but I've forgotten.
There's in the suburbs of Chicago, there's a few towns right where he grew up. There's one street, it's called Shermer Street, and it goes through about three of those towns, and it keeps its name, Shermer Street.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and he
did he do 16 Candles?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
You know, it's interesting about The Breakfast Club.
Mm-hmm.
The song that everybody thinks of when they think of that movie is the song by Simple Minds.
Sure.
Don't You Forget About Me. That song was not written by them. That song was written by an independent songwriter who shopped that song around. And he wrote that song for the movie.
Hmm.
Billy Idol turned it down.
Wow.
The Pretenders turned it down.
Wow.
But the Pretenders singer, Chrissy Hynde, gave it to her husband at the time to record, who was the singer of the band Simple Minds.
Jim Kerr.
Yes. And that's how, it was their biggest hit ever, but they didn't even write that song.
Right. This has been Rock Stuff with John Osterling.
Hmm.
Can't believe it's been that long, though. John Hughes.
Strip club empire pledges to send erotic dancers to Area 51. Have you seen any of this Area 51 nonsense on the internet?
I keep trying not to, but it just keeps popping up again. I am so out of touch with this, I could have sworn it already happened. They still haven't done it yet?
People on Facebook and other social media places, they said, we're going to storm Area 51. We want to see these aliens, dudes. We want to hang out with these aliens. And, you know, once this started going around and people sitting on their couches in their underwear clicking, I'm going to attend that. Thousands of people supposedly said that they are going to attend the storming of Area 51 out there in Nevada. And then
about 50 will show up.
And our authorities said, please don't do that.
Right.
If you don't want to get shot, please don't do that. Well, the top adult entertainment company there in Nevada is reportedly set to storm Area 51 next month with strippers. Quote, come September 20th, we'll be there, said the director of operations at Deja Vu Services. That's the very large adult entertainment company there in Nevada.
I've heard they're really good.
Quote, we know what most Americans know, that strippers make any event better, and this one will be no exception, unquote. That's what they, well, now we know there's going to be some strippers there, storming Area 51.
Right.
And that's, again, that date is September 20th, and we advise you on this radio program not to do that. Authorities say, please don't do that. There are some interesting videos and memes and going around that show what could happen if people storm Area 51
right.
on that date that has been picked. But anyways, this Deja Vu Services is sending about a dozen erotic dancers, strippers, and they're going to send the company's mobile strip club, the Strippermobile.
Right.
Hey, they've got a strip club on wheels.
How long before we get a conjurer and a mariachi band? That's what I want to know. Then maybe I'll go.
Well, they're sending them on September 20th to the highly publicized Storm Area 51. They can't stop all of us. Raid. By the way, that Facebook event has been deleted. It was created in early July, and it looks like after it attracted over a million users who said they were going to do something about this, show up there.
Right.
It's been deleted by Facebook.
This is, I think it's this, you can't say this generation, but it's this decade's, what was the Occupy Wall Street, and they occupy Armstrong Park over here for a while, or
oh, but by City Hall, the idiot box.
Yeah.
They came over here.
Yeah. Wasn't that prior to 2010, or was it?
Right around then.
I'm going to check the actual date on that. But it reminds me of that. And people are going to send me hate mail for that, I'm sure. But
well, just...
I read them all. I can't respond to all the hate mail, but I read them all.
Yeah, I wouldn't storm Area 51. All right, coming up on the show. You see who's back in the news because he's making an appearance, a New Orleans icon I didn't even know was still alive. And he's going to be coming to a theater, making an appearance. We'll give you the details coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. The Black Crowes are one of my favorite bands. In my opinion, their second album, the album that came in after the album that song you just heard was on, in my opinion, the second album is one of the is their best and one of the great rock and roll albums.
The Southern Harmony and Musical Companion.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, everybody says that what's the ballad? It's escaping me right now. Their ballad.
She Talks to Angels?
Yeah. Everybody says that. They point to that as like their best ballad. No. Their best ballad, The Black Crowes, is Thorn in My Pride. That is just...
They're both
great
songs.
It kicks in, you know, towards the middle, but what a great song. Great song.
The band burnt out. And there's a new book coming out, written by their drummer, Steve Gorman. It's called Hard to Handle, The Life and Death of the Black Crowes, a memoir, and it's going to be out next month. Former Black Crowes singer Chris Robinson was asked about the book, and he says, because they asked him if he'd ever write it, he said, quote, "I don't think there would be anything similar," Chris Robinson said, if he was going to pen something about the Black Crowes compared to the drummer. And by the way, the drummer co-founded the band with the Robinson brothers, Chris Robinson, the vocalist, and Rich Robinson, the guitar player. Chris Robinson, when asked about Steve Gorman's book, said, quote, "I'm a writer. That's what I do. I don't think it would have anything to do with something like what he's doing." He's talking about Gorman's book. "My life has been the life of, you know, the ideas. I'm the one who put the band together. I'm the one who pointed us in the direction. You know, Rich, my brother, and I wrote the songs. I'm the one that lived the life as well. So to have someone's view from the sideline, or someone's view who wasn't at those parties or didn't live that life or didn't create anything, is going to be much different than the person's who has." So it doesn't look like he's looking forward to the drummer's, Steve Gorman's, Black Crowes book.
Sounds like a great read, though.
Yeah, and again, one of my favorite bands of all time. And Steve Gorman now is a nationally syndicated sports radio talk show host, and he's based out of Atlanta. The Black Crowes came out of Georgia. And
I think that show just came to an end. Like late last year.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe that's why he wrote the book. That he needed to do something.
But he had a long run.
And Chris Robinson said, if he writes a book, he said, hopefully it'll be about 20 years from now. because he said he's still living his life, and he says when he's done living his life and he wants to put his feet up and be old, he said that's when he may write a book about the Black Rose. Hopefully he can remember all the stories.
Well, exactly. Chris Robinson apparently not ready to burn bridges. He burns everything else, but not bridges.
Well, I look forward to that book. All right, coming up next, we're going to tell you the story about a New Orleans icon who a lot of people thought was dead. Not only is he not dead, you're going to be able to see him in a theater soon. That's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So, most people who are from the New Orleans metropolitan region remember an iconic television character from their past, from their childhoods, named Morgus the Magnificent. He was extremely popular on television. By 1962, he was so popular that he starred in a full-length feature film called The Wacky World of Dr. Morgus. And Morgus appeared on local television here. And he got so big, that's why he made the movie. Well, the actor who played him was a guy named Sid Noel. And he's 89 years old, and he's still alive, and he's going to be doing a one-night live show at the Orpheum Theater here in New Orleans on October 13th. Now, he's not going to dress up as Morgus with the funny, messy hair wig or the three big teeth that you saw in the front of his mouth. He's just going to come out as himself, 89-year-old Sid Noel. He was an actor. And obviously the role he played of Morgus the Magnificent was his biggest acting role. He was like a frazzled buck-toothed Frankenstein. I've talked to many people around here who loved watching Morgus when they were little children. And he used to make you laugh, and he kind of freaked you out at the same time. And what's interesting is once he stopped being Morgus the Magnificent on television, he really never did it anymore. As a matter of fact, the last time he dressed up as Morgus the Magnificent was at a New Orleans Hornets basketball game before they changed their name to the Pelicans.
Well, that's been a while.
Yeah, it was in the early 2000s, and him and his assistant went out onto the court and That's the last time that he dressed up as Morgus the Magnificent.
Do you know that whole thing? The horror movie host is a... I find it a... It's a fascinating slice of life and a time that's never going to come back from, some would call it the golden age of television. And as television is in the late 50s and early 60s, throughout the 60s, finding its way, almost every, I shouldn't say every, but many, many television markets had their own horror movie host. Here it was Morgus. In Cleveland, it was... the name of the character is escaping me, but it was played by Ernie Anderson, who was the ABC booth announcer who did "Coming Up After an All New MacGyver: The Love Boat." That was Ernie Anderson. He did. I can't think of it, but in Los Angeles, you had Vampira, who later was parodied by Elvira, who is still going to this day, Cassandra Peterson. In Indianapolis, I grew up with a character called Sammy Terry, like cemetery. Sammy Terry. Well, terrible fright wig, a hooded mask, and a little spider called George hanging from a obviously from a string. But that's most major cities had that in their repertoire in local TV, and a lot of it came out because they didn't have budgets for good movies. And so you'd see this like the afternoon movie or the Friday night, late night movie. And they were just, they were either actors or station employees otherwise who maybe do like a booth announcer or a kid show on Saturday morning. And I find that fascinating.
But
the horror movie host.
It was very smart for local affiliates in different markets to do that, because you got the whatever network you were on, whether it was ABC, NBC, or CBS, they are showing a national movie that goes all over the country, and it's a way for your market, your city, to latch on to that.
Well, but for the most part, we're talking about cheap afternoon movies that were not shown nationwide. They would only be shown locally, or the Sunday night movie, or Friday night movie, or whatever. The character that Ernie Anderson played in Cleveland was Goulardi, and Ernie Anderson's son is Paul Thomas Anderson, the director of Boogie Nights and other pretty good films.
Well, Morgus the Magnificent, his segments were called House of Shock, and he had a hapless sidekick named Chopsley, and they were extremely popular. It was something how this took on a life of its own. I mean, he actually became more popular than the movie that they would show, because people
as would be the case in with many of these hosts.
And so he's got a show coming up. He's 89 years old now, and he's going to perform at the Orpheum Theater. But again, he's not going to be dressed as Morgus the Magnificent.
Now, will it be like a Q&A? Will he take questions from the audience?
It's going to be at the Orpheum Theater on October 13th. He's going to tell stories, and I believe he's going to try to answer a couple of questions. But what he's going to do, and this is what he said about this, quote, "For the first and only time in my life, I'm going to do a stand-up," unquote.
Hmm.
He said it's going to be the story behind the story. It will be a biography of two people, Morgus and that clown behind him.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah, he's going to discuss the backstory of the character and then talk about other things, but that's what he's known for. The performance is a benefit for the Alzheimer's Association of Louisiana, and tickets are available at Ticketmaster. $43.50. That'll be something. I saw people spreading that last night, locals in New Orleans. I saw them spreading that like crazy last night. That was spreading a lot faster than the Storm Area 51 message was spreading.
Yes. As Storm Area 51 is not so entrenched into people's memories and childhoods. But one day it will be, that and soccer. They're both going to sweep the country any day now. Soccer. And Storm Area 51.
So that's going to be something. And if the person in your life or you were big fans of Morgus the Magnificent, this is one of those times in life where you could literally say, This is your one chance to. I mean, he hasn't been around in a long time. He hasn't done that character. I mean, that thing has been in the rearview mirror for many, many, many years.
Sounds like a great night and a good cause.
Absolutely. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to tell you about this Louisiana woman who got arrested, and her trouble only got worse once she was in the police car, because it's what she did in the police car that got her in even more trouble than she got arrested. We'll explain coming up on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Never saw a headline like this before. Woman pulls bag from body cavity, snorts drugs in police cruiser.
I can think of at least a half a dozen times we've had that story in the last 10 years.
This happened in
Winchester. You don't remember that at all?
This happened in Winchester. Well, I remember plenty of stories about drugs coming from different cavities.
Right.
But I never were the woman actually snorted the drugs in the back seat of the police car.
I think we've had, well, go ahead. Maybe I'm misremembering.
This happened in Winchester, Kentucky.
Oh, boy.
A woman was arrested for public intoxication and endangering the welfare of her baby. Was soon in more trouble after she was put in the back of a police cruiser. That's when 28-year-old Catherine Ehlers had a surprise for officers. She pulled a plastic bag out of a body cavity, and she began inhaling a white substance through her nose, according to the police report. Ehlers would try to hide the bag again, but police told her she would face an additional charge if they found the substance in jail. She then revealed the substance from her body cavity. An arrest record says that police responded after a report of two intoxicated people that were about to operate a vehicle. She was unsteady on her feet when police showed up. Her child's car seat was improperly fastened. Thank God the cops showed up. In addition, the child's diaper was a mess. So they arrested the mother, put her in the back of the police car, and that's when she reached for the body cavity to get
Of all the people in the world who are who aren't blessed with the ability to conceive, to have children, and freak shows like this, they seem to have no problem.
And I
but
say
you've got a kid with no food, a dirty diaper, and not buckled into the seat correctly.
Mother's doing this, and I've said on this show several times, I feel so sorry for so many kids in this country who have parents like this who are born behind the eight ball.
Sure. They didn't ask to be put so many steps back in their life just to be unfortunately blessed with parents like this.
Mm. All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you the story about this guy who had to fight the IRS to get a tax refund because they swore he was dead. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Led Zeppelin there. Led Zeppelin! The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. So we are 3 days away from the New Orleans Saints opening up the preseason. Friday night they are home to play the Minnesota Vikings, and don't look for Drew Brees or Alvin Kamara or Michael Thomas to play when it comes to the preseason. Most NFL teams play their starters. They play them a little bit in the second preseason game. Then they play them a little more in the third preseason game. And then that's it. None of them usually play the studs, the stars, in the first or the fourth final preseason game, which brings me to the what we were talking about not that long ago on the show, how this could be the last year of four preseason games. You only need two preseason games. And the fact is that the NFL and teams charge ticket prices for preseason games. It's the same amount as for regular season games. And that doesn't seem to be fair, especially in two of those games, the first and the last one, the fourth one, where the majority of the starters and the majority of the stars that people really want to see play don't play. But what do you think about starting next year, the NFL having only two preseason games and then adding two games to the 16-game schedule, which would make it an 18-game schedule with an asterisk? And the asterisk is those two extra games, you have to use some different starters. That starters can only start 16 games.
Well, you just
even
said,
if they go to an 18 game season, starters can only start 16 games.
You just said by adding what I hate that mark, that evil thing, the M word, the A word, the asterisk, that I wasn't around for. I was too young to see the change of Major League Baseball from the 154 game schedule to what I know, the 162 game schedule. There's a lot of people that would like to go back to 154 games or less. I think it is criminal that the boys of October, the boys of summer, that their season can, their postseason can go into November. I don't like it. I'm a nattering nabob of negativism when it comes to change. I don't like teams playing in London or elsewhere. I don't like the idea of an 18-game regular season. I get it that it's that. I just don't. I don't like change.
I do.
Change ever.
Here's why I like it. You only need two preseason games. You don't need four. So that's a waste of 2 weeks. And you could add those two onto the regular season because how many people would love two more regular season games? It would be good it would be good for the league financially, obviously.
But, okay, so who plays? I mean, it doesn't matter. The preseason games don't matter, but you've cut them in half now. Let's say there are only two preseason games. So now your studs, your starters, how many of those games or which, you know, you're not going to play them both. Are you going to play them in the first one and risk an injury right off the bat?
Well, that's
or are you going to wait until right before the season starts? And it's
I don't like the fact that if they're going to extend the regular season in the NFL, two extra games to make it an 18 game regular season, that starters will only be able to start and play 16 games. I think that kind of stinks. They're doing that because suddenly now, you know, they're worried about the player's health.
Right.
Isn't that something? You know, before they had to pay out millions and millions and millions of dollars to former players because of head injuries, because of the concussions and the head injuries that come from playing football, before they had to do that, they used to throw people on the football field. If they could stand up, if they could breathe, if they could play, you're out there. And the players were the first ones that wanted to be out there because they realized their shoulder's bothering them. Oh, they got a concussion. Or, boy, but if I don't play in these next few plays, I might lose my job.
Well, not only that, but this goes back to a time where NFL players had full-time jobs in the offseason because they didn't make the kind of money that players make now. A guy might drive a truck or he might do whatever. So the idea of not playing was a lot different then, and guys would go, I mean, there are stories, guys would go in, they just, I mean, they're literally staggering. They're seeing birdies there.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to get back on the line because it's that important.
Yeah, that happened all the time. What do you think about this? Do you like the idea of an 18-game regular NFL season? If you could text us if you do. Give us your thoughts. Keep them short and sweet. If you want your name on it, put your name on it. And if it's good, we'll read it on the show. Text us at 504-260-9595. And please don't do it while driving.
Standard data and message rates apply.
And I got a kick out of the Saints practice the other night. Every year, they do this Sunday night. They have a practice at Tulane University's football stadium, Yeoman Stadium uptown. You know, they got over 12,000 people who showed up just to see him practice on Sunday night. And one other thing I get a kick out of the Saints practicing, you know, all the players have to wear, they have a piece of masking tape on the front of their helmet, mm-hmm. and it has their last name in big letters. Even Drew Brees wears one of those. Mm. I mean, he's a Hall of Fame quarterback, first ballot. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks who ever lived. He's been here forever, and he still has to write Brees in big letters on a piece of masking tape and put it on the front of his helmet. I don't think he has to, but I think that's just Drew Brees being cool. He wants to be like everybody else, saying, hey, if you have to put, hey, unknown rookie, trying to make maybe a spot on the special teams, if you have to put your name on a piece of masking tape on the front of your helmet, I'll do it too.
Yeah, but we have Osterling on the back of your chair, and there are only two chairs in this room, so. Early text says, the NFL to me is a, and this is actually a holdover from the other day, but recent. The NFL to me is a thug league. Screw the NFL and the one sport dimensional in this dangerous flooding city. Thank you, Bobby. There he is, Bobby.
Bobby from Algiers.
Bobby from Algiers.
Bobby. I love you, Bobby, but I disagree with you. I can't wait for football. I'm so excited.
Yes.
And Friday night is the first preseason game in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. All right, coming up on the show, what a story about how a woman was saved from being attacked by a wild animal by a rock band. We're going to explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7. New Orleans only classic rock. Probably one of many people's biggest fears is coming home, returning to home, and finding an intruder in their house. And we see this a lot, whether they just happen to come in while their house is being robbed, or some mentally deranged person ends up in their house for whatever reason. It just happened in DeLand, Florida. Sure, of course, Florida man. But in DeLand, Florida, a man called police after he came home and found an intruder in his bathroom taking a shower. The cops showed up, they searched the guy, and they said he was clean. That really happened, and I think that has to be a fear that a lot of people have. You don't want to walk in on some nut in your house. Coming up next on the show, we are going to tell you about the young woman who was in all kinds of trouble because she encountered a wild animal, but she used a rock band to help save her life. Wait till you hear the details on this coming up on Bayou 95.7.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlund Morning Show brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. This is a great story. And I like great stories, happy stories. I mean, you turn on the news, it's usually bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news, bad news. So depressing. This woman, now this could have been, this started out as a story that could have been very depressing. This woman was around Vancouver, Canada. And this was only a couple of days ago. And she was hiking. And she came upon a cougar. And the cougar looked very hungry. She took out her cell phone and started video recording.
I thought you were going to say she called Diner Dash or Uber Eats to get something for the young cat.
No, she wanted to video record this encounter.
Hmm.
And she titled the video, "Hungry Cougar Stalked Me in Vancouver." And it looked like it was extremely scary. The young woman's name, Dee Gallant. She was hiking with her dog through the wilderness of Vancouver Island, actually, when she spotted a cougar just up the trail, and the cougar was staring at her, and she said it looked hungry. She yelled, and the cougar stopped moving closer, but it didn't retreat. It just sat there staring at her and her dog. She said, quote, "I was out hiking when I noticed this cougar stalking me. It wasn't afraid at all. Just kept staring at me." So what would you do if you were in that situation? I should take that back, because I don't like doing that, because most people would say, well, I would have done A, B, C, D, E. And it's easy for you right now to say what you would have done. But
I would have, you want to know what I would have done? I would have taken choice P, poop my pants. Yeah, that's what I would have done.
Probably would have been needed some toilet paper too.
Oh boy.
You know what she did?
She just says, she said, first, I'll take a selfie.
No, well, she...
There has to be a selfie involved here somewhere.
She had her cell phone out video recording this. She just went to her and opened up her music app on her phone.
Right.
And she was looking...
Thank you for holding up your phone to demonstrate this for me.
She was looking for something very loud to play.
Yes.
And she just clicked on Metallica. And she cranked it as loud as she could, and it worked.
Do we have any idea which song? I know which song.
Quote, "I finally scared it off," she said. "I started to play Metallica on my iTunes, and that's how I finally scared it off." It was not this song.
Ah.
Although this would have been a heck of a choice.
That's what I would have picked. This song scares me. And not Master of Puppets.
No, you could have picked most any Metallica song. Not Turn the Page.
No.
The Bob Seger cover.
No. Probably not The Unforgiven.
No, not The Unforgiven.
Unless you're trying to get the cat to like sway back and forth with a cigarette lighter.
I would have actually gone for Megadeth, but that's okay.
Well, she opened up her music app on her phone. She looked for something to play.
Before you tell us, this is what I would have done. That's it right there.
You take a mortal man and put him in control.
I would have now blown up the station.
I would have loved to see the look on the cougar's face hearing Dave Mustaine and that guitar tone coming out him so loud.
Yes.
But that wasn't what they played. And you know that Dave Mustaine was an original member of Metallica, but they kicked him out because he couldn't handle his booze.
This has been Metal History with John Osterling. Okay, so what did she play?
She chose the Metallica song, "Don't Tread on Me."
Wow.
And she said she chose that one because it was loud, and also the message I wanted to convey to the cougar: don't tread on me. Here I am. I'm hiking with my dog on this trail, Vancouver Island out there. And I got this cougar, this wild cougar looking at me. And cougars are very beautiful animals as long as they're not standing 20 feet away from you on a trail.
Right.
That you're hiking.
Let's hear a little of that. Yeah, we don't have it.
And it's interesting. It's interesting that she didn't just want the loud guitars, bass, and drums.
Right.
But she wanted to convey the message of James Hetfield saying, don't tread on me.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yes.
And so I've even got a second part to that story.
Okay.
That story went viral. It got picked up by news outlets all over the world. And they were showing the video and they were talking about the story. And wouldn't you know, who saw the story on the news?
James Hetfield.
None other than James Hetfield, the leader of Metallica. And what did James Hetfield do? He called her up on that very cell phone.
Wow.
Later that afternoon.
And he said, hello.
Yeah. And then she said, I couldn't even believe he was calling me.
Right.
And then she admitted she was skeptical, asking James Hetfield, quote, how do I know it's you? And he said, as soon as I hang up with you, I will take a selfie and I will send it to you.
On this number.
And that's exactly what he did. He was wearing a yellow T-shirt and he made the famous Ronnie James Dio Texas Longhorns heavy metal sign while he was smiling.
Okay.
And he wrote underneath that photo of him, thought you might like some confirmation that it was me.
Right. Sad twist to the story, though. After all this, she was eaten by the cougar anyway, right?
No. Fine, and, there it is.
Does it have dirty words in it? I don't know. I didn't pre-listen to this.
She said he was just an absolutely wonderful guy, very down to earth, and he even knew Murphy's name, because he saw the news story, and that was the dog's name.
Oh, okay.
Not the cougar's name, the dog's name. And then she said, she finished by saying, quote, I still can't believe James Hetfield knows my dog's name.
Pretty cool.
Isn't that a cool story?
Very cool.
I like stories like that.
Story of hope.
Coming up next, I got to get to this story about the man who had to, he didn't get his tax refund from the IRS. And then after he called them, wait till you hear what he had to tell them to get that refund. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Debbie Harry, the singer of Blondie there, she's got a new memoir coming out, a book. It's called Face It, and there are some wild stories in this book. One of the stories is how she accepted a lift from a stranger in the early 1970s. And she said it was Ted Bundy. She said that in this book that she wrote that's coming out, she discusses an attempted abduction by a man she believes was serial killer Ted Bundy. She said this guy wanted to pick her up. Something didn't feel right. And she got out of there, and then a few years went by, or whatever the case may be, and she saw his picture and that he was the infamous serial killer, Ted Bundy.
Hmm.
And that's one of the stories she just she tells in her upcoming memoir that's going to be released soon, her book called Face It.
Did you know she is 74? Debbie Harry is 74. Not today. It's not a birthday, but she recently turned 74.
She's 74 years old, and she's got a couple of other stories in that book. One that's unbelievable that I don't feel like sharing on this radio show right now because something very bad happened to her.
Well, let's move on.
And by the way, there's a video going around. Blondie, they're on tour right now, and they do a live cover version of that song Old Town Road.
And it's in the news again.
That song last week broke the record for the most weeks ever at number one in the history of Billboard at 17 weeks.
Right.
This week, it's still number one, Old Town Road, that song, for the 18th week in a row. No song has ever been number one on the Billboard charts in the United States of America for 18 weeks in a row. And we were talking about it last week on the show. We had some fun. We played it a little bit. And I mean,
yeah, we're not going to do that this week.
It's a decent song, but I don't.
No, it's not.
I don't understand.
No, it's not.
I don't understand how it has been number one for 18 weeks and no other song in the history of the world has done that.
It's a decent song if you compare it against its peers in popular music today, but it's still that auto-tune twang that it just it's it doesn't affect my life at all because I don't listen to it.
But it's a big deal when something
in
our history that has never happened before happens.
And why that song? Because there are...
That's the question I have.
There are others similar to it, and why not them? Why that one?
Mm.
So a little while ago, we were talking about the prospect of the National Football League, going to reducing the number of preseason games to 2 and possibly expanding the number of regular season games from 16 to 18. And some folks wanted to weigh in by text. Don't like it. Starters still miss 4 games. It's pointless to add 2 games to the regular season and still only play 16. Pointless, if you ask me. Another says, this is from Corporal Captain. I do not like the 18-game schedule. No, sir. Put me down for 1 vote against. Another says, I like the idea of only 2 preseason games, but don't like 2 extra regular season games.
Wow, I thought most people would want the two extra regular season games.
No, I think most...
I wonder if they would want them if there was no rule that you couldn't start your starters for all 18 games. You could only start your starters for 16 out of the 18 games.
Mabon says, I feel like it's worth a shot. I'm not too keen on the idea of the starters not being able to start all 18 games, but I believe it does add a certain element of strategy. The word is strategery. There's people who do evil in the world, and we call them the evildoers. He or she says it will be interesting. See, I don't like a scenario if I've got tickets to one of those 2 games where the stars I want to see, and maybe I can't afford to go to multiple games.
You're going to a game in the regular season in the middle of the season.
No one's playing.
Yeah, in the middle of the season, and you sit down, and what do you mean Drew Brees isn't playing today?
Right.
What do you mean? Okay, Teddy Bridgewater, we'll see what he can do, but why isn't Drew Brees playing? Oh, there's a new rule now that they're playing 18 regular season games. Players can only start 16 of them.
Let me ask you this hypothetical question: will the tickets for those games be half price?
Of course not. If all preseason ticket prices are the same as regular season tickets now, as we are, then why would anything else change? And I just wanted to mention
the No Fun League.
Thanks for the texts.
Yeah,
and I just wanted to mention this real quick. Man finally gets tax refund after assuring the IRS he is not dead. People have issues with the IRS, but this guy named John Bowen Jr., he lives in Reading, Pennsylvania. He said he spent 10 weeks waiting for his $5,500 refund. It never came. He, along with a lawyer, called up the IRS, and they said, wait a minute, you're dead. And he said, no, I'm John Bowen Jr. You must be thinking about my father, John Bowen Sr. And he had to prove to them that he wasn't dead. And he did that, and then he got his $5,500.
So talking to them wasn't enough? Mm. It's like, I think you pretty much, if you say, I'm not dead, that should be enough.
Well, enough dead people vote in this country. It's wild that you have to prove you're not dead to get your tax refund from the IRS. Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. And wait till you hear this story about a court case that's going on in Louisiana. Guy's got some face on him. That's next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Peter Pan bus driver arrested after locking passenger in vehicle's luggage compartment.
Huh?
Hmm. A Peter Pan bus driver was arrested over the weekend because she locked a passenger inside the luggage compartment as the vehicle was traveling from New York to Massachusetts.
I'm sorry, what is a Peter Pan bus?
It's like a Greyhound.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I think...
I'm sure there are a lot of people like me who have never heard of that. A Peter Pan bus. I've never heard of that.
You've never heard of Peter Pan
bus? I've never heard of a Peter Pan bus. It's just like a motor coach company? Yeah. Like a... Oh, we used to work with a guy who drive for Hotard. Hotard coach.
Something like that.
All right, I've never heard... Okay, you may continue then. I'm now brought up to speed, and my face is red.
This happened over this past weekend. The bus... It was a trip, like I said, from New York to Boston, Massachusetts, and it was driving through Connecticut, and Connecticut State Police received a call from a woman who said she was if you've ever seen commercial buses where they put the luggage and such, she was down there.
Okay. That's a problem.
Connecticut State Police, they were able to ping her phone location, and they pulled over the bus right before it got to the Massachusetts state line. And they pulled it over, and they heard the woman banging from underneath the bus. And sure enough, there she was. It was this past Sunday. And the bus driver was arrested, 49-year-old Wendy Alberti. She was arrested and taken into custody. The company released a statement saying that this operator, this bus driver, has been an exemplary employee for the company. Over her tenure, she has received many customer commendations on her safe driving and customer service. And our company's 86-year history, we have never...
86 years? I've never heard of the Peter Pan Bus Company.
Peter Pan Bus!
I'm going to look this up.
Yes, they don't just make peanut butter. Quote, in our company's 86-year history, we have never had an incident such as this. The safety of our passengers and employees is always number one priority.
Except for that one day, that one driver.
And this bus driver hasn't said anything. They're trying to find a lawyer representing this bus driver to say why she took one of the passengers off the bus and then put her underneath the bus where the luggage usually goes and then locked her in there. She was arrested and she was charged with first-degree charge of unlawful restraint, reckless endangerment, and breach of peace. There was a...
You can't be breaching the peace.
There was a passenger on the bus. This woman was riding on the bus, and she was shocked when a witness, and when she witnessed a female passenger come out from underneath the luggage compartment below. Quote, all of a sudden, my brain didn't know how to react. There was a person on the ground. Did I hallucinate? Did she get off the bus? When did she get off the bus? We've all been sitting here. Like the passengers didn't know what was going on. And that's a first. You ever ride the bus? Are you?
That's how I got from Anderson, Indiana to Baltimore in 1982, and it was 18 hours of abject hell on wheels. Oh, it's awful.
You were just
my God, it's awful.
You were just like Axl Rose, who left Indiana, but he went west. He went the other way to Los Angeles.
I felt like Midnight Cowboy in many ways. I told you that story maybe on air or off air. Pulled into Pittsburgh at about 4 o'clock in the morning and like a layover there. And I was 20 years old and I wanted my mommy. She was already in heaven by that point, but the things I saw in the Pittsburgh Greyhound staff, here comes a guy and he looks like he had just stepped off the Hindenburg. He had no skin on his body at all. And of course now it's every day. And as I mentioned,
what do you mean he had no skin?
It's as if his skin, his first layer of skin had been peeled off. And so you had like an underlayer of just oozing redness. That was his body. I don't know if he had some sort of a skin condition, but I'd never seen anything like that before. And the shock that you get when you see something that you've never seen before, it's like now it's commonplace. I'm much older. And as I mentioned earlier on today's show, I would pretty much see that every day walking from the parking garage to the station over here. But when I was that young, it was just, and here's another great story about that, riding the bus. There were two buses, and every stop that we made, they were always together. And I had my bag of all my personal belongings somehow got onto the other bus, which then at one of the stops said New York City. And I'm like, I don't know if I should tell somebody. I'm in fear that my bag is going to go to New York City after I get off in Baltimore. Well, eventually that bus is going there, and my bag got off the second bus, and everything was fine. But here I am, hayseed from Indiana, and riding the bus. Back then you could smoke. They were smoking weed in the back of the bus. It was just, ugh. Yeah, but it's a fine company. Peter Pan and Greyhound, they're fine, fine companies.
Well, I would like to hear when this bus driver goes to court, why and how she got this passenger into the luggage compartment underneath the bus.
And will her exemplary term of service prior to that, will that enter into any... punitive measures taken against her.
You would think that her great record in the past would have to help her.
You take that, you weigh that, and then there's that one time that you locked the passenger in the luggage hold. Mm. That was kind of a problem. So
I got one more quick thing before we get out of here.
All right.
The Rolling Stones tour, which was here in New Orleans, great show, was up... And they played the stadium where the Giants and the Jets play, mm-hmm. MetLife Stadium, the new Meadowlands,
right.
Up there in northern New Jersey. And before the show last Sunday, Mick Jagger, along with a couple of the people that were with him, they stopped in a diner not far from the stadium to get something to eat. This was actually last Thursday.
Mm.
And they went to a trucker-friendly diner, a 24-hour diner in Clifton, New Jersey, called Tick Tock Diner. And above the diner, they have a sign that says, Tick Tock Diner, eat heavy. And sure enough, the 75-year-old Rolling Stone singer who recently had heart valve replacement, what do you think he ordered?
I'm thinking like cottage cheese and an egg white omelet.
Not at the Tick Tock Diner.
No.
He got Taylor ham. He got a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese.
Jeez. Is this cardiologist aware of this?
With French fries on the side and a sloppy Joe to go. So now...
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
But you would think with that new valve, his heart could handle that now.
I guess. Maybe he's trying it out.
But isn't that something? I thought Keith Richards, that would be a perfect meal for Keith, but not Mick.
Hmm.
That's going to do it for us this morning. Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it.
We need these jobs.
Yeah. Coming up next, it's Ginty. Ginty! Today's Two for Tuesday. Starts in a couple of minutes. And we'll chat again tomorrow morning around 5:30 here on Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.